Let's open our Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. As Paul wrote to the Christians in this, in the churches of Galatia, he made this wonderful statement to them that is so precious to us today. In verse 14, I'd like to direct your thoughts to this. But God forbid that I should glory, save, that means except, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Did you know that the cross is the international emblem of Christianity? Wherever you see it, you know that Christians have been there. The cross is the only emblem of salvation. Now there are some people, you've seen cars that have the fish. I understand that was a symbol that was used back in the early days too to identify Christians. But by and large, the cross has always been used. It's the theme of preachers throughout the past 2,000 years. The cross is the sum of all knowledge and wisdom and love. And the cross reveals God manifest in the flesh. You see, the cross planted on the highest hills. You see it painted on rocks. You see it on church steeples. And you see it in most of the cemeteries of the world. You see it on pieces of jewelry hanging around ladies' necks, or on bracelets, or lapel pins, and places like that. Crosses all over the place. Even the denomination called Catholics make the sign of the cross. The cross is everywhere. And yet, to the world, the cross is an offense. The cross is an offense to those God-denying atheists. And they're working on it. They've succeeded in getting the Bible out of public display from schools, places like that. They've succeeded in removing the Ten Commandments even from courtrooms. And they're working on God We Trust. And they're working on the cross. But let me tell you something. The cross is here to stay. Let's consider the meaning of the cross. What does it mean? When you look at a cross, we've got one up here on top of our church steeple. There's another one out yonder in the front of our Sunday school building. What do we think about when we see that cross? I want to mention some things this morning that I think will help you. When we see that cross, we are reminded of the depths of sin. Because the cross is an emblem of death. The cross is where Jesus died. The Son of God died shed his precious blood on an old rugged cross. Through the years, there have been various and sundry methods of putting people to death who deserve to die. You read in the Old Testament law, it was by stoning to death. We remember Stephen in the New Testament was stoned to death. Paul himself was stoned to death. And I can remember studying in history about France, particularly stands out. They had that thing called a guillotine, where they would put a person's down here and put his head on a rack or something, and on this side of it they'd have a basket, and up above there was a big heavy knife, and somebody would click a trigger and down would come this blade and would cut that person's head off, and the head would fall into the basket. Firing squads. Back in the early days of our country, whenever somebody went out here and rustled cattle or sold somebody's horse, they'd hang him to the nearest tree. They had a gallows with its hangman's noose. I remember when I first found out about the death penalty. Back in Texas, they had the electric chair. They would electrocute people. And then we saw it as it became more humane. They had gas chambers. And today, they have in many states what they call lethal injection. There are many, many ways to take a person's life legally, the government taking a person's life. In the days of Jesus, they crucified people. They took a cross and nailed a person's hands to the cross pieces and his feet to the stock of the tree. And they left them there until they died. It was a very cruel, painful way to die. All of these remind us of death. And when we see the cross, we should remember that the cross is a place of torture and of death. Did you know today that all sickness, pain, and suffering is caused by sin? Every disaster, every disease and tragedy is caused by sin. All crime and violence and wars are caused by sin. Sin has left its slimy trail down through the centuries of time from the Garden of Eden to the present day. It was sin that brought about the flood in the days of Noah. It was sin that caused the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah so many years ago. Every tombstone in every cemetery is a silent testimony that sin is in the world. Every hospital, ambulance, nurse, and doctor remind us that sin is in the world. Every morgue, funeral home, mortuary reminds us that sin is in the world. Every courthouse, every judge and lawyer remind us that sin is in the world. Every police station and policeman and jail and penitentiary is evidence that sin is in the world. Every delinquent child, every broken home, every broken heart has been brought about by sin. The plague of sin, like a deadly virus, has descended upon every individual, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's like it's inherent in our genes. But the extreme depth of sin is not seen until we go to the cross of Calvary. I've lived on this old earth for 84 years, and the one sight that my eyes have seen that stands out above all others is in 1994 when I went to Israel and saw the place where Jesus died. Calvary shows us the exceeding sinfulness of sin on public display. It's the most heinous, the most atrocious sin. When mankind got their hands on God and took Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and crucified him on that cross. He was betrayed, reviled, spit upon, beaten, ridiculed, denied, defiled, and crucified. He was put to death by his own people, whom he had come to seek and to save. They killed their salvation. And when we see the cross, we are reminded that it stands as a mute reminder that sin is in the world and that all men are sinners. When you see the cross, you think of sin. But then when you see the cross, I want you to think also of the breadth of God's mercy. Peter said, "Him have ye taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." History tells us about a mother who once went to Napoleon to beg for a pardon for her son who had broken the law. She told him, or he told her, he said, "No, I can't pardon him because this is his second offense, and that justice demands death." She said, "Sir, I do not ask for justice. I plead for mercy." Napoleon said, "He does not deserve mercy." And she said, "It would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for." And Napoleon granted her desire. But you know, the greatest display of mercy is found at the cross. We sing a song, "Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary." The greatest display of mercy is found at the cross. It was there at the cross that God's grace was extended to lost mankind. When you look at a cross, you will see the measure of God's love for lost humanity. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends." Jesus said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you want to know how much you are loved, go to the cross. When you're feeling lonely and despondent and blue, and you think no one cares, you look at the cross and you'll know that God cares for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So when you see the cross, you see the depth of sin. You're reminded of sin, but you're also reminded of God's great love and his mercy extended to us. But there's something else about that cross. When you look at the cross, you will see there the power of Christianity. You'll see the power of Christianity. You know, if you were to remove the cross from Christianity, you would completely destroy it. For the source of its power is the cross. That was what made Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost so powerful. He said in Acts 2:23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you've taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. The cross is the only hope for this old war-torn, sin-scarred, eternity-bound world. And Paul said that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. It's the power of God. Yes, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So you can put away your money. You can put away your bonds. They'll not secure remission of sins. You can put away your diplomas. You can put away your businesses and your farms. Your barns that are filled with plenty. They'll not remove sin. But when you come as a repentant, penniless sinner to the cross of Jesus Christ, there you will find the remission of sins. This is a true saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ died to save sinners. The cross is the power of Christianity. And then when we look at the cross, we're reminded that we've been liberated from sin that comes to us through the blood of Christ shed on that cross. So it becomes a symbol of preservation, a symbol of consolation, because as long as the cross stands, old Satan is a defeated foe. It's said that back in the year 312, Roman Emperor Constantine saw a fiery cross in the sky. Well, he changed. And he changed the course of Christianity for a while, because up until that time, Christians had been persecuted, their property confiscated, put into slavery, killed. But when he made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire, things changed. It was the cross that he saw. So the cross is the Christian symbol of victory. Christ and him crucified is the most compelling, the most irresistible message that's ever been preached or sung or taught in this whole world. Nothing else can compare with it. lot of missionaries go to foreign countries to teach them how to farm, how to feed themselves, how to make a living. Some missionaries go there to teach. But there are some that go with the Bible and the power of the cross of Jesus Christ to make Christians out of them, to bring them to Christ. Because the world is stripped of its charm at the cross. Our condemnation is lifted at the cross. Our ruin is removed at the cross. The shadows of death are dispersed at the cross. To us it's life. The darkness of eternity is dispelled at the cross. And that's the place where sins are forgiven. That's the place where sinners can come with a heavy burden of sin. And the Christ of that cross will take away that burden of sin and give them new life. Because the cross was planted in the earth, pointing upwards toward heaven with its arms outstretched. And the man of the cross says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." He said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." There's power in the cross. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er catch sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. Because it's the way of the cross that leads home. Remember that. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. There may be one here today who has never by faith gone to that old rugged cross. And you've never trusted the one who died for the sins of the world on that cross. You've never placed your faith and trust in that one who loved you and gave his life, who shed his blood for you on that cross. Today you have an opportunity to do that. An opportunity that will cause all of the saints who've gone on before us in heaven to rejoice. Because there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels whenever somebody repents and trusts Christ. And you can imagine what happens in that other place called hell whenever a person is saved. Because those people who are looking from hell at this service today, when they see a soul turn to Christ, they will rejoice that you're not coming to that place of eternal torment. Won't you be saved today? It's the blood of the cross that saves. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we have a message to preach. We thank you for the cross. We thank you, Lord, for what it reminds us of. It shows us our sinful self. It shows us how that you loved us when we were yet sinners and died for us, took our place on that cross. And it shows us the place of victory, a place of salvation, a place where we can come and have the burden of sin lifted and removed from us. Thank you, Father. Speak to hearts today. Draw people unto thyself. For Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." Let the drawing power of the cross this morning be our glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 429
in our hymnal. Verse of invitation this morning, give you an opportunity to come. Will you come?